Hey, and welcome to this episode of Recruiting and Hiring Made Easy. My name is Jen Hilton, and if this is your first time listening, welcome. This is the podcast where you're going to learn about all things recruiting and hiring in a really easy and understandable way. I don't use jargon. I don't believe in jargon. I'm anti-jargon. I don't want to make it confusing or difficult because anybody can recruit and hire as long as you know the basics. And so these podcast episodes are really meant to help you, whether you have been recruiting and you might just need a refresher. Maybe things aren't working anymore the way that they used to, and you might just need to go back to the basics. Maybe this is your first time ever recruiting. You've got a business, you want to grow your business, and you need some help. And this is a really easy way. We don't talk a lot about formulas. We don't talk a lot about data. We don't talk about all that big, like complicated stuff. What we do here is just talk basic recruiting and hiring. And we give a lot of great tips, a lot of great information. And today is no exception. So today, what we're going to cover is actually a more of a fun conversation, I think. I'm constantly looking at recruiting and hiring news. So anything business related, but especially recruiting and hiring, that's where I get a little bit excited about things. I know I'm a dork, but that's okay. That's how I am. So anyway, we're going to be talking about some kind of bizarre questions that have been known to be asked by people and companies during interviews. And they're just kind of off the wall, bizarre questions. And I'll kind of give like the recruiter explanation as to why they probably do that. And then maybe a little opinion about it. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see where this episode goes. But today is also a new thing because I am trying out video podcasting for the first time. So, years ago, I did this behind the scenes thing where I was showing you, I was like in a walk-in closet. I can't believe I'm even telling y'all about this because this is a while back. But I was in a closet, literally in one of my closets in the guest room. And that's how I did all my podcasts. I mean, I would do interviews there. I would like it was just this little tiny room. It had great sound. And now I have gone and made my way through the study, so I'm moving up in the world, I guess. So, you know, I got a window. It's a big deal for me. So anyway, you won't be able to see it with the backdrop, but that's okay. I try to make everything simple. That's why there's nothing flashy or fancy about this video. So. But today we are talking about some of the more bizarre questions that are asked during interviews, and then I'll kind of give you my feedback as to why those would be asked in the first place. So stay tuned. This is going to be a fun episode. A lot of times I bring in some heavy information, try to make it as easy and as absorbable as much as possible. Just try to make it easier for you. I don't know. Sometimes I make up words as I go along. I just, you know, sometimes you just gotta say it the way it comes out, right? So, anyway, today, fun questions. Gonna be a super light episode. Might even make you chuckle. Who knows? So, stay tuned. We're gonna have a good time today. All right. So, since this is my first video podcast, you are going to see me in a whole different light because you're going to see just how animated I am. So this is going to be interesting for both of us. I've done a lot of videos in the past for different things, but this is a little unique because I've got my camera right here and then I've got my information over here. So I'm going to be kind of looking over back and forth. And you are going to see just how animated I really am. A lot of people might think that I use my hands a lot. I think I use my hands a lot when I talk. So that's just how it is. Hope y'all don't get motion sickness because I do a lot of moving around. So just to give you a heads up on that. So if you just want to go back to my voice, I totally understand it. Go and listen to the podcast. It's being recorded as we speak. If you want to watch the video, stay here and watch it on I think it's going to be on YouTube at least, and then Vimeo as well. We'll see. We'll see exactly where it ends up. I'll put everything in the show notes for you. Any links to anything that we're doing, all that good stuff. So, quick announcement before we get started on these fun interview questions. I am now on teachable.com. So, this is something I have been working for probably about 7 years, at least 7 years that I can think of. I came from recruiting. I have almost 2 decades of recruiting experience. I started as a baby, just a little baby, hardly even walking. And I kind of grew into middle management, working my way up to upper management, and changed careers for personal reasons. My dad passed away, who was also in recruiting, and he taught me all the ropes and taught me a lot of great things. And it was just really hard for me to stay in that field, so I just kind of changed my mind on it. And I never lost the passion for it, though. I always said that marketing was a passion of mine, but recruiting was just in my blood, and it's true. So for years, I was just kind of debating, what do I do? What do I talk about? What do I teach people? Because I knew I wanted to do something virtually. I knew I wanted to offer coaching and that kind of thing. And so when this opportunity came up to start up the podcast, Recruiting and Hiring Made Easy, it just kind of made sense to also think more about my online courses. And I have done so many drafts and so many rewrites and so many just things that were thrown out because it just wasn't working right. And now it's finally all coming together. So it's been 7 years in the making, and I really hope that you'll go and check them out. Right now, I'm offering a free preview class because I'm still working on getting all of the videos up. But it's a free preview so that you can kind of get a feel for the course and see my teaching style, that kind of thing, if it fits into your schedule, if you like the slides, all that kind of good stuff. We're talking first and foremost about breaking the mistakes before they even start, or any kind of mistakes that may have been made in the past. We're addressing those head on, and we are going in with a clear mind. So we're talking about 7 common mistakes with recruiting and hiring. And then we're also going to touch on budget and just a few legal things. Not a lot, but we are going to touch upon those. So that's all in the free preview that I have as I'm creating more courses. So there's going to be a whole bundle. There's also going to be a free view for a pop-up series. Pop-up books. I like, right? It's so much fun, y'all. I've had so much fun with it. And then we also have just courses that you can do a la carte, where if you maybe are more comfortable with interviewing, but you might not know the best way to recruit people, then you can just take the courses that you need, or whatever area you need. So I'm trying to make it as easy and as affordable also. That's a huge thing. But also so that you don't have to waste a lot of time, because I don't like wasting time. I don't know. Not my thing. So go ahead, check those out. I'll have the link in my show notes. It's jen-hilton.teachable.com. So if you could go and sign up right now, you'll get notifications on when new courses come out, when there's any kind of discounts or anything like that. The first always get the best, right? So I will, of course, I'm still trying to figure out all the details, but the first people that do sign up for the course will get a very, very steep discount. So just as an appreciation of putting your faith in me and just wanting to learn more about recruiting and hiring. So anyway, that is going on. So I have rambled on long enough about that. I could talk for days about it. I'm so excited. But let's get into these fun questions. Let's talk about these fun questions. While I was doing some research, looking for some ideas and trying to get this more honed in, I came across this article on the Muse, and it's called 13 Ridiculous Interview Questions That Awesome Companies Will Actually Ask You. And it's by Elise, is it Kalish maybe? Kalish? Sorry if I misspoke your name, Elise, but I've got the link in my show notes. You can see the full article. And it's really something that caught my attention because so many people don't know the questions to ask when they're in an interview, when they're doing an interview with somebody that they're looking to hire. And that's actually one of the biggest problems I've seen. So once you get past the recruiting part of trying to find those people, then you bring them in for interviews, and it's just kind of like this conversation that you're having with them, but you don't really know what you're saying, and you don't really know what you're looking for. So you know what you don't want sometimes, which is good, just as good as knowing what you do want. But when you don't really understand what you're looking for in the first place, or the questions that they're not directed to give you the type of answers that you're looking for, not necessarily bucket answers, but what I mean by that is getting answers to your questions that you need to know to be able to make good recruiting or good hiring decisions. So you want to have specific questions. You want to have very direct questions. You want to have very clear questions as and know why you're asking them and what you're looking for when you're asking those questions, when you get the answers. So this article really got me because, we've all heard some crazy, crazy interview questions, right? Like there's illegal ones. There are things that you can't ask people because that could end up in lawsuits. And I think I cover that in another episode. I'll see if I can track that one down. We never want to ask those because they're irrelevant to working and to someone's performance skills, qualities, all that stuff that they can bring to a job. And these ones just kind of made me chuckle because as a recruiter, you do have sometimes companies will tell you there are specific questions you have to ask candidates based on the job itself. So you don't have a choice but to ask these questions. So a lot of bigger companies, as I've noticed, they're turning to questions where they give you like a list of them and say, okay, here's your pool of questions on like this piece of paper. Make the notes on this piece of paper and explain, why this answer was good, why it was bad, why you think this person would be a good fit, why they wouldn't. It's really in detail. And but it's per company. So it's not that they necessarily have like this, hey, take this for anybody kind of thing, right? So when you start to interview and when you start looking to hire somebody, when you're trying to formulate these questions, it can be really hard and confusing because there's so much information out there. And one of the things that I do offer in my teachable.com courses is that it's something called an interview question cloud. And it's very easy to use. And I show you how to use it in the videos in the course. And it helps you understand what questions to ask and what you're actually asking the questions for. So you can pick and pull what you want and make it across the board for the whole interview process for everybody. So it's really super easy. You don't have to go Google stuff. A lot of times I've seen employers, and I've been very guilty of this myself because I have been a recruiter for fields where I was like, what is that? I have no idea. And so I had to go look things up, and I would go and search for different questions to ask these people because I didn't know what I mean. I had the job description, but I didn't understand what the job description was telling me. So it was really complicated, really technical, that kind of stuff. So I've spent hours looking for interview questions, and it gets really confusing really fast. So this interview question cloud is going to really help you if you sign up for the course. But in the meantime, let's have some fun and talk about some bizarro, weird, ridiculous interview questions. Okay, again, we're looking at the Muse. It's an article on themuse.com. And Facebook starts out the list. I think there's 13 here, so we'll just go through a couple. But Facebook, okay, so this is an actual verified question, right? That they have been told that they ask during interviews. Facebook asks us, 25 racehorses, no stopwatch, 5 tracks, figure out the top 3 fastest horses and the fewest number of races. That one, I'd have been like, hey, Facebook, thank you, but no thank you. I have no idea how to answer that one. So I probably would have laughed. I probably would have said, you know, as a candidate, I would have said, that's a really great question. And it's very interesting that you would ask that. You know, give some bucket answers, you know, just to buy some time. I wouldn't know how to answer this one, y'all. Would any of you know how to answer this? Like, I don't know. This one just seems kind of odd and kind of out there. As a recruiter, I can see what they're trying to do. But it almost seems irrelevant though. But I mean, they're looking at, I'm sorry. It just seems so like irrelevant to Facebook, you know? But the way that it's being asked, it seems like they're trying to figure out problem solving, and they're also trying to understand how you do without resources, without obvious things. So they want to see what the candidates are going to say, first of all, how they're going to answer it. Because if they are coming off as like, oh, well, I just refuse to answer that question, I don't even want to think about it, well, they're not open to outside thinking. So Facebook probably wants outside thinkers, is my guess. But they want to know how things, like when the things aren't obvious, when the obvious stuff isn't there, how do you figure things out? So a lot of problem solving can be seen here. And sometimes I think a lot of these questions, most of these questions actually, they're kind of like icebreakers, almost to get someone to be more themselves and natural. So this one, I mean, it just kind of stops me in my tracks. I would have no idea how to answer it. So almost 20 years of recruiting, and I just would have been like, Facebook, I have no idea why you're asking me this and how to answer it. So there you go. That one was kind of the toughest. Well, one of the tougher ones, I think. Second one that we have is from Google. Now, Google is known for asking crazy out of the box questions. I mean, they almost invented it. I mean, not that people weren't doing it before, but they made it more popular for people to ask crazy questions because they do want innovative thinkers. They are very innovative, and they want fresh ways of thinking. They want fresh ideas. And so this makes sense for Google to ask. Even though, like I said, I mean, it would make me chuckle if I was in Google and I was sitting there being asked this question. Why are manhole covers round? I mean, it's, you can be technical about it. You could, if you're going for a really technical IT job, maybe programming, you could explain the intricacies of why a manhole cover is round as opposed to square or a triangle. If you are an engineer, you could talk about tools and what do engineers talk about? Velocity and all that stuff. They talk a lot about important stuff. Buildings, you know, that would be great for an engineer job. But yeah, I mean, it does all these questions, their main purpose is to take the candidate, get them out of the stringent, you know, tell me about your last position and tell me about yourself. And what do you think your weaknesses are? What do you think your strengths are? They're trying to get away from the average, questions, which, I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? That's my philosophy. That's why we're here on Recruiting and Hiring Made Easy. But these are fun. These are really fun. So, so Google, keep on going with your bad self, because you're doing what you do. You definitely have a reputation. So keep asking why manhole covers are round. And I would like to find out an answer for that. That would be awesome. All right, so Apple has their own set of questions here. And one of them is, if you were a pizza delivery man, how could you benefit from scissors? This one I really don't get. I don't understand what a good answer would be for this as a candidate. I don't really know how to measure it either. These are really hard questions to measure because they're all subjective. There are no right or wrong answers. You can't just say like, okay, well, we're looking for innovation on this question and then rate that innovation. It's awkward. It's just an awkward question. So, okay, if you were a pizza delivery man, how would you benefit from scissors? Well, I mean, I guess you could see what they would do with supplies that aren't necessarily that they see necessary. So maybe Apple gives them resources that they may not understand, and then they want to see how someone would react to that before they even get them in the job. That's kind of my only thing that I can think of. Otherwise, it's just a question that they're trying to ask to throw somebody off. So that is my understanding of that question. Amazon. We all gotta love some Amazon, right? Okay, question is, how would you solve problems if you were from Mars? So Amazon asks, how would you solve problems if you were from Mars? So I can see this being kind of like a almost like an empathy question or trying to test someone's compassion for people that don't understand how to communicate well, maybe, or how to explain things that might be complex. That could very possibly be part of the Amazon process. So if you were from Mars, how would you solve problems? So maybe even learning new content. Like, how would you handle learning new content? Something that is totally foreign to you. How would you handle that? So that's actually not an awful question. It is something that could be measured in a way where if you're in an interview as an interviewer, you're looking for certain traits and characteristics in somebody, you could actually measure this one. So that one's actually not bad. Microsoft asks, how do you test an elevator? And I don't know. To me, like if I was a candidate, I would answer, well, I'd push the buttons and see if it goes up and down. Like I don't, to me that seems like an obvious one. I'm not really sure if that one's just meant to throw people off. Again, these are all just assumptions, just based on my experience. So, I haven't talked to anybody from any of these companies, but I can kind of see the rationale and the logic behind them. It's just some of that doesn't make as much sense as it might could otherwise. So how would you test an elevator? So that's Microsoft. They may just want to understand if you can do processes or how you would walk somebody through something kind of obvious. I don't, maybe there is something more to this that I'm not getting, but on the surface, it just seems like a question that they're just trying to ask cleverly to find out a process. So instead of just saying, you know, how do you make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Walk me through that. You know, they're just saying, how do you test an elevator instead? So Uber has been known to ask, how would you find the words that became obsolete in English language between 16th and 17th century? You may use a search engine. So, Uber will ask people that want to work for them, how would you find the words that became obsolete in English language between 16th and 17th century? You may use a search engine. This one, again, they want to understand logic. They want to understand how you would find something that you wouldn't typically know. So, just because it's so obvious, an Uber driver. So, let's say that they were asking this for an Uber driver, right? they don't have all the answers. So they have their app open. They'll get orders. They'll pick it up and send, you know, get it to the location and be done, right? So there are certain steps that they have to take. Now, this, again, is it's a problem-solving question. And they want to know how someone would come up with a way to figure this out because it's not common knowledge. So I think they want to test their problem-solving skills and to see how they would search it in the first place. Like, would they go in a dictionary? Would they, you know, how many websites do they click on? I don't know. I don't know if you could really test that, but, problem solving is a big deal here. And just not knowing something and how do they find that information? So, you know, this could be applicable, if there's an Uber driver that has maybe a country road or something where the signs aren't really, there's no like good Google map satellite. And so they might have to find their way around. So maybe that could be good, but, yeah, so that one's just interesting. And, I wouldn't know how to answer that one myself. All right. Trader Joe's has been known to ask. This one's good. I like this one. Okay. Trader Joe's asks, what do you think of garden gnomes? I like that. I like that question. It's just fun. It's quirky. And I'm fun and quirky, so I like it. You know, I can't imagine all the responses that they get to this, but it's pretty funny. You know, I guess people just love them or hate them, you know, it's just testing out personality and how they respond to like an off the wall question. It's, just, you know, it's a personal thing. It's a very much a personality question, but I like it. What do you think of garden gnomes? That's a good one. I like that. I might add that to the question cloud, the interview question cloud that I was mentioning earlier, just cause it's so fun. I like it. Living Social asks, what's your favorite song? And then once they ask, they say, perform it for us now. Okay. Now, Living Social, not knowing anything about this company, other than the fact that there is a company named Living Social. Okay. I'm thinking that this is a very online kind of company where an online presence is very important. So you can't be shy. And so asking what your favorite song is and to perform it for us now, they want to see how you react to an awkward situation and how well you can, I guess, well, I hate trying to define things with saying the same word, but performing it on the spot, right? So even if it's bad, they want to see the effort. So they want to see that you're even going to try. But also, too, they want to see that you're up to the challenge and that you're not going to just turn them away and think, oh, well, I can't sing. I'm not going to sing that. I'm not going to do that. They want to see your personality shine through and they want to see what type of person you are. And if you're up for challenges, too, I mean, that's pretty big. You know, are you up to humiliating yourself if you can't sing or dance? I know I would be humiliating. So that would be a fun question. I would love if they recorded those and had those at like a company party or something. That would be hilarious. All right, so moving on to Urban Outfitters. They have been known to ask candidates, you are a new addition to the crayon box. What color would you be and why? And this actually sounds really familiar. I think I have been accused of asking this one too. Because it's a good personality question, but it's not a great question just because it's very complex. If you ask somebody something like that, they're not going to have a straight answer for you. And that's fine because you want to get to know them. You want to see who they really are, right? During an interview, but it can also backfire because they're going to keep thinking about that question. So when you ask these kind of questions and they don't know how to answer right away, one of the issues with these creative questionings or questions during interviews is that people will sit and overanalyze them, and they'll also go back and keep thinking about them even during the rest of the interview. So if you ask this from the get-go, from the start, or you ask it even in the middle of an interview, in the back of their minds, they're still thinking like, man, I probably should have said that color or this color, or, you know, they're still thinking about that question just because it's so unique. So it may not be the best question, depending on how you use it, if you were to use it in an interview. But this is a total personality question. And so people want to see, well, how well you think on your feet. So Urban Outfitters, being a retailer, they're going to be dealing with angry clients, people that need help yesterday with stuff. You know, they're going to have to really do a lot of last minute kind of thinking, like thinking on their toes. So good question for that. But just depending on where they ask it in the interview process, I'd say put it towards the end just so that way people don't obsess about it. American Heart Association. So nonprofit, asks, what's the color of money? And, as I read it and as I've been thinking about it, I really can't understand the reason why they would ask that. So, I know a lot about recruiting. I know a lot about hiring. This question just does not seem to make sense. If y'all have any ideas, I would love to find out, because as a recruiter, it just doesn't seem to really have any relevance to anything. I don't really know why they would ask that question. It just kind of seems like it's just out of nowhere for no real reason. I couldn't imagine it in an interview, even for something in the financial department. I don't understand why they would ask that. So, it just doesn't really seem to click with me. So if you have any suggestions, let me know, because I would love to hear them. Petco. Okay. So Petco, where the pets go. I am very familiar with Petco. I actually did some business with them, or helped them with something at one point. So Petco, not recruiting and hiring, it was something totally different, but Petco. So how would you direct someone else on how to cook an omelet? Now, this question is a good one. So this one's kind of like what Microsoft would ask. How would you test an elevator? So instead of that old peanut butter and jelly sandwich question, they're asking it differently. So they're finding out how you would explain something to somebody and how you would guide them. So literally the person is only doing what you tell them to do. So if you don't say crack the egg open to make an omelet, they're just going to throw a whole egg in there, right? Like that's the assumption. Okay. So they want to know how precise you are with directing people and giving information. So this one really good, shows, understands that you know how to process things and how to explain those processes to people. So kudos, Petco. All right, craft foods. All right. Now this one is a tough one. I'm not going to lie. This one's really tough. On a scale from 1 to 10, rate me as an interviewer. That one sounds almost like a trap, if you ask me. I don't know if I would ever ask anybody that in an interview, just because, I mean, how they answer is really going to change the way that you think about them. If they tell you something like, oh, well, you know, I didn't understand most of the questions you were asking, or why, I didn't like how you didn't really respond to me. If they're very critical of you, you're not going to hire them. It's just human nature. It doesn't matter if they are well qualified. Okay. So this is almost a trap for people. So I would say this is not a great question because, I mean, it's supposed to put somebody in a very awkward position. It tests how someone would talk to somebody honestly about a situation or maybe a circumstance that happens at the job where maybe it's someone higher above them, right? That they've got more power or a higher title, something like that. So it does show that, but I would say maybe instead of saying rate me as an interviewer, I would ask them on a scale from 1 to 10, rate the process so far of interviewing for this job, from recruiting and communication and listing out specific things. That would be much more useful to me. Not only as a recruiter, because I can see what the candidate experience is all about and how people feel about it, but it also gives me a good idea of how people give criticism as well. So I don't like this particular question, but I like the idea of the question. So instead of asking to rate the interviewer on a scale from 1 to 10, I would ask on a scale from 1 to 10, rate the interview process so far. So that's my little nickel. For that. And then, okay, so MasterCard, last one. These are all 13. These are just so good, so interesting. All right, so this one, this one was kind of like, I had to read it a couple times. I was like, what? This is, doesn't make any sense. Can you say Peter Piper, or Peter, wait, wow, I can't even say it. Can you say Peter Pepper picked a pickled pepper and cross-sell a washing machine at the same time? So let me read that again because I couldn't say it right the first time. Can you say Peter Pepper picked a pickled pepper and cross-sell a washing machine at the same time? So talk about a good sales question and awkwardness. They take the cake on this one, I think. So looking at it from a recruiter standpoint, if I had my systems in place, I had my processes, and I had my rating system. What I would look for is how they would take something irrelevant and turn it around into a cross sale. So, trying to tie that all together. So, in a salesperson, and again, I don't know, what these questions are asked. I don't know if it's customer service. I don't know if it's accounting. I don't know. I'm assuming it's just a salesperson because it's saying cross selling. So, but if I were asking this to a salesperson, I would be looking for how they're going to tie this Peter Pepper picked a pickled pepper and cross-sell the washing machine at the same time. So, example, let's say the salesperson, the candidate said something like, well, Peter Pepper, you picked a pickled pepper and you got some pickled pepper juice on you. They've got a great washing machine that could take care of that, get that stain right out for you. Won't eat through your clothes. It's really great. You'll want to go check it out. Let's go see it. I mean, that would be something that I would expect a good cross-selling person would do, a good salesperson would do, trying to take a situation that, I mean, even as bizarre as it is, with a tongue twister, but. Taking that situation and making it into a sale, or being able to take anything that someone's going through, relate to them, understand what happened, whatever, and being able to say, hey, you know what, I got a solution for you. So with sales, you want solutions. You don't want just to sell something, right? Like, we don't want to be sold. We want solutions to problems. And so if you have this tongue twister, there could have been a situation and he might need a washing machine. So you're trying to tie two totally irrelevant things, but you're also trying to understand how that person would respond to that situation and try to sell them that washing machine. So good question. It is bizarre enough to make the awkward and weird list on themuse.com. So kudos to them. And I just, it's interesting. It's very interesting, very memorable. Alrighty, folks. Well, that is it for this episode of Recruiting and Hiring Made Easy. I think we had some fun with some kooky, crazy questions. I'm sure you've heard some as well. If you've ever worked for anybody outside of yourself, you may have been asked some really weird questions. I would love to know them because there is definitely no stopping the creative process when it comes to recruiting and people that want to make bizarre questions. So I think that proves it here today, this episode. If you have any questions, I'd love to hear from you. And I'd also like to hear any kind of comments that you have about this episode. I think it's fun, but it's also important because we need to understand our questions and why we ask those questions. Not just to throw people to the wolves, not just to make them squirm, but to really get good information from that so that we can make good, reliable hiring decisions. And questions are really important. That's a big part of it. Being able to take questions, know what you need and what you want, and being able to pull apart and pick from an interview, from a candidate answering you the questions, and being able to talk through it and being able to justify why this person would be a good hire. So questions are super, super important. And that is one of my platforms, I guess you could say, because questions are super important. And interviews are just a very directed and very focused conversation. And that's really all it is. You're just having conversations with people, but when you're asking irrelevant questions, you're not finding out the information that you need. So I hope that this episode maybe gave you a little chuckle, maybe made you think a little bit too, because I know a lot of these questions, they made me think. I was like, I don't know what this has to do with recruiting. So if you have the same things, the same thoughts, I'm right there with you. But it was a fun episode, you know. Sometimes you got to keep it lighthearted. I know we talk about some really serious, heavy things here sometimes. And this was just kind of a light and easy episode. So it's hopefully you're listening to it in your car. Maybe you're at the office just needing a quick pick-me-up. But either way, thank you so much for listening. If you want to connect with me, I would love that. Go ahead and drop me an email or a message. You can hear this on any podcast provider that you choose. And I am also on Teachable. So come and find me there. Sign up for all of my upcoming courses, everything that I have going on right now, and things that are coming in the future. Because trust me, there's going to be a lot and it's coming. It's just being made. So it does take time to make and get it all ready and prepared for you. So just be in the know, and that way you can always get the latest episodes of Recruiting and Hiring. Hit that subscribe button, and also you'll get some notifications on when new episodes come out. And also to sign up for my email list and know on teachable.com when I have new courses or when I've got sales going on. Everybody loves a good sale, and I'm telling you, I got some good ones planned, so you don't want to miss them. Until next time, y'all, go out and be a hiring hero, the one that you were meant to be.